This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
They had me standing on the front line. They It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Thank you for joining me, and hope all is well with all of you and things are going good. And I'm back to talk more. I see big issues about garbage still rest with us, but they just can't seem to figure it out. If they were able to just take into consideration that we generate trash and we need to stop putting so much effort in where are we going to dump it. Instead, we should be considering all of the good things that can, such as limiting the big box stores, the type of packaging, making it whole, buy in a bundle or what, make sure that everything is recycled. Well, that kind of stuff. Less styrofoam, less cardboard, less packaging. And I think that some of you may not know that a lot of our packaging, believe it or not, the honesty of man has a lot to do with the amount of trash that we generate. What do I mean? Well, just a little food for thought. When you go to a shopping center or you go to Costco or somewhere, Best Buy, imagine, just to give you an example, you got that little SD card, but you know it'll fit on your thumb, but look at the package that it comes in, and that's to do with theft. They're putting it in this big package because they're afraid you're going to steal it or to deter those that want to steal it from stealing it. So because we are dishonest, not because we buy food in it, but because we're a bunch of dishonest folks, we create waste that as well. Boy, it's early. Someone's calling. Must be a hotline. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question? Anyway, I guess they didn't have any questions or anything, but maybe they'll try call back. But anyway, I kid you not, that is one of the reasons that we see the debate, where do we put this trash? And another is the packaging. I mean, some of them have to have fancy packaging. And I don't know what it is that they have to have such fancy packaging, but it's to get you to buy. But anyway, that's just a little. I'm not going to be talking about trash a whole lot, but it just so happened yesterday, some of you may have seen on TV where I found a bunch of foam out on the beaches on the South Beach there at Kalaeloa. And I got to tell you now, I had flashbacks, throwbacks of my past when I first discovered that and walked down there. I thought, oh, my God, I got to pick this again. You know, anyway, you probably wouldn't get it because I used to pick cotton. And so it's just kind of a flashback. But I got over it for a while and then realized that oh, no, this is environmental problem. I've gone beyond picking cotton. But just joking. This situation, I discovered this, if some of you saw it or some of you did not see it. I discovered this and what I could deduce is that apparently a floating dock, as you know, if you've ever visited a marina, you're able to walk out to the boat and it's on a shaky but stable platform where you walk out to get on the boat. In some cases, the design that is used, you use foam or some kind of flotation material, floating material that allows you to build cement on top of this floating device. And that's what this appears to be. And I think it's possible that it came from Kehi Lagoon, or because we had that event of a tsunami. And I don't believe, and this is just me now, others may have, there may be a different story. It may have come from Fukushima. But just sharing with you, having that concern, I did not see any other artifacts that were would suggest that this device or this phone came from Japan. And I should have seen some trinkets or something, but it's possible that it wasn't. So, but looking at that, some of the environmental impacts, what my concerns is, now this was spread over a half mile, and I'm going to post some pictures up of it at carolcox.com, and you can see the impact of how substantial it was. And mind you, yesterday when it aired, this material had a great bit of it had been removed by the wave action and redeposited down the way. So the health department couldn't make it. And late last night I was out there, chairman of the Land and Natural Resources, William Isla, actually came out and in the dark of night there, and he and I gathered up some of the materials, and they're going to test them to find out try and locate where they come from. But the problem is it's in the tide pool areas. Environmental concerns are, with the negative impacts, are Monk's Hill Hall out there. A lot of native birds there, migratory birds. You have a lot of fishermen, and you have turtles. And so some of the problems with this, ingesting it by turtles or what have you, it depends on the level that they eat. And remember, styrene and benzene are just some of the constituents or the major constituents in foam, in this type of foam. And so 95% air, pretty much. That's why it's used. But imagine we use that for convenience, but that foam will be here for more than 200 years. It takes that long or longer, depending on what it is exposed to actually break down. So I say that, you know, when you buy styrofoam, a plate lunch, and you sit down for that 30 minutes of pleasure or convenience that you're going to experience, you're going to leave your mark for 200 years. That's what foam is. That's what styrofoam is. And it gets its the name styrofoam because of styrenes. And styrenes are carcinogenic, and benzene is also present. And, you know, benzene was banned, or many tried to just get it completely out of gasoline in the U.S. and what have you. And I think it has been passed, but there's some serious concerns with benzene. So imagine now, if we don't clean it up, and it's a task, you know, when you stand back, how do you clean up little beads blowing in the wind that is now littering the beach and in the tide pools? But it should be cleaned up, because the young fry and the young fish and the crabs and what have you that will probably eat some of it or ingest some of the constituents, the benzene, styrenes, and in turn walk its way back up the food chain. And so there's Joe and Kimo and Larry sitting there fishing and not knowing that you're going to contaminate your family in the long run, and not to mention all the other contaminants. And I got to be real. I mean, we have the H-Power, we got AES, we got Tesoro, and they're all belching out smoke and mercury and other contaminants. And so why would we worry so much about this foam? Am I overreacting? Well, not really. It's just that when we can get a handle on it, we should. And this is one of those things that's manageable. And Ilo said that he is going to send some of his engineers out, along with the state health department, and have them to make an assessment and see what can be done. But what I think is going to happen is actually it's moving toward in the Nanakuli direction. As I saw it originally, it was on the Diamond Head side of back of the slaughterhouse, but now it has moved in a different direction. So if it makes it to Ko'olina, then we'll have an immediate cleanup. You'll see Mickey and Gaffy Doofy and all the others out there trying to get it up because, you know, if it gets over there in the money pot, there might be a rush to get clean it up. Anyway, if that caller, you want to call back, we had a button here out of place. And as usual, something's always missing here. But I want to talk to you about the neighborhood board. And I keep talking about I'm going to speak about the neighborhood commission and on and on and on. And I want to share with you, a lot of you, if you have comments or insight on the neighborhood board, can you give me a call, 524-1080, and not that I'm lonely and need a conversation. I want to get an idea of what you people think about neighborhood boards, you know. And so I'm of the opinion, and this is based on a number of things, incidences, and that the neighborhood board and also a lot of the facts, the neighborhood board, the commissioner, first of all, is appointed by the mayor, the commissioner, and a number of his people. There's a number of people that are appointed by the mayor. So basically, it's just an extension of the mayor's cabinet. So here's what happens. When the neighborhood boards meet, a great number of the boards that exist are manned by the mayor's employees or hand-picked people. And what happens is that they come in to do the bidding for the mayor. So they are basically, the mayor, knowingly is manipulating a process that is supposed to be available to the people. And somehow it just gets out of whack, and it has gotten out of whack with this entire process. So what I'm going to do is I talked to you briefly. I hinted that I would be talking about it. And so I look at this entire process of this neighborhood board. And some of them have just gotten completely out of hand, and some of the people have gotten completely out of hand. We talked about the Waianae, and by the way, the Waianae Nanakuli issues that I raised and brought about with Kimo Kealii and others were just not working. And I want to play you a recording of a recent meeting in the last month or so. I want you to get an idea. It's about 10 minutes long, and I'm going to try and set the stage and show you why we should be concerned.
We're big kids. Although you're listening to the prior speaker, I don't share the same sentiments. We're grown up. We're in an arena where we're to deliberate. And when we're in that kind of arena, you're going to have all kinds of opinions and preferences, and that's good. Actually, it's healthy. But when the deliberation withers away because there's cleaning of motives without really assessing positions, everybody loses. So I'm here to say that I'm years before Dallas, and what she went through, because the morning she did the minute, she came in and shared her feelings with me. The second thing is that I think you need to know that as a result of the lack of these open deliberations, there's a climate, I think, that can be nipped in the bud if we become more preventive rather than remedial, because it can become more corrosive, and that will get to a point where it evolves even more so. And if we don't take that kind of proactive step, then confidence and trust erodes. And I think the worst case scenario is that your community, people who are citizens in this community, may begin to question your, all of us, as to our credibility, our viability, and we'll all suffer. And that's not the worst case. The worst case scenario is some of you may have to step down. Thank you, Chuck.
Ms. Patterson?
Chair and board and community, I am concerned about your committee, that education committee minutes was the worst, but...
Mr. Chair, she needs to rephrase. Just keep it general, because I don't need to tolerate your comments. You don't need to say the education committee is the worst. Just keep it general. No, I will not tolerate her comments. She keep it general. Everybody keep it general.
We're going to allow the residents to speak.
Right.
This is a concerns what we
policies call. And guidelines as to how they can speak.
There are, and I think she's well within.
No, she's not. I'm saying she's not.
Mr. Kennedy, she at this point in time, she is.
She's no, wait. When she's saying the education committee is the worst,
then this is her opinion.
Right.
So we're going to allow them.
But keep it general.
We're going to allow them to speak their opinion, and
then when I say what I say, then you better make sure you're ready.
I will allow people to speak their opinion.
Right.
As long as
no, it's not like you don't allow people to speak their opinion. There is guidelines to keep them within a parameter of their opinion. You cannot say they can say whatever they like. They cannot say whatever they want.
Mr. Kennedy, at this point in time, when you. I want to ask the neighborhood assistant for guidance because I'm
right,
the chair. So if you could please allow me that. Okay. So the neighborhood assistant said this is community concerns. They may state what they please to state. We will proceed.
No, I have the neighborhood plan right in front of me. Prove to me in the neighborhood plan that they can say whatever they want. What reference is he telling me this from? Or does he have this plan?
So the neighborhood assistant said we can take a recess so he can pull it free, but if you have the reference...
No, take a recess and let's look at it.
Okay.
Well, you want to keep waiting? We're going to follow the guidelines.
Okay. Mr. Kiliad, as chair, I'm going to allow the discussion to proceed.
What if I'm going to interrupt her? If
please
not
do
order.
Not interrupt at this point.
If she's not in order, I will.
If you feel she is, you can bring up a point of order, and I will address it at that point in time. But out of courtesy to the committee, I'm going to allow Ms. Patterson to proceed. Ms. Patterson, if you could take this comment into consideration, I would greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Chair. The committees need to have more input from the community, in my opinion, and I see within those committees a problem of nepotism, and I'd like for you to consider that as you proceed in these committees and upon your board. And I do thank you for giving me an opportunity to raise my concerns about the community. Mahalo.
Aloha, Polly Grace, Nana Kuli. Been here for 50 years. I would like to say that I've given to this community. I haven't taken a dime from this community. Now, if you all have the minutes of the Nana Kuli Neighborhood Board minutes, I would like to say that the minutes of the Education Committee is flawed. Number one, that particular program or definition didn't take place. You should read it. It's all a lie.
Lying and what is lying and who's the liar. Do you have evidence to prove it's a lie?
Yes,
no.
I have evidence.
Okay, again,
please
We need a meeting to address your allegations, and you're not going to make comments until you prove it.
It's here. It's all proven. You wrote
it. People are there too. So when we have our committee meeting, either that's going to be accepted or not. The only liar is you.
Anyway, I've been in this community, like I say, 50 years, and I've given to this community.
And my great-grandfather was.
So, please read it, because
it's
all
factual.
Right.
If we need to bring this meeting back to
how
order,
long?
It's the truth.
Then why are you stopping?
Because you don't want lying,
Mr. Kennedy. Thank you, Georgette.
Mahalo, Chairman.
Deal with it.
My name is Georgette Myers. I'm a resident of Nana Kuli. I'm also a leasee of the Hawaiian homestead of Nana Kuli. I'm here to say that two people on this board should remove themselves. One is that guy who's been shouting.
Georgette. File your complaint with the neighborhood commission and do not continue smearing me, because the bottom line is you have a process to take. You can go to the neighborhood commission and file your complaint. But to come on Olelo and think you're going to get away with making comments like that? No way. You must be joking.
Yeah, we're going to have to be a bit more respectful towards what
I'm saying. Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Excuse me. Let's...
As a community resident, I have...
Right, and as a community resident...
I waited all night
to put
down
the
project.
Stick to the facts.
Yes, I am. So
you are not even at the meeting.
He is not a Nana Kuli resident.
Because he falls lost the purpose
spot. He removed from the Nana Kuli
board,
the neighborhood.
Go for it, Georgette. Prove it. Prove it.
He doesn't live in Nana Kuli. He lives in one.
You know you've run it, so you need to get off the mic,
Mr. Kuli. Also, we also have...
Like Uncle Kamasi said,
we also
run it.
To hurry up.
Take care of your children.
You know,
alrighty. Anyway, maybe I need to break that down for you, and just to say that what you witnessed there was Kimo Kelii, a neighborhood board member at the Nana Kuli Berth 36. He's the chairman of the educational committee for that neighborhood board. So that, you know, he has the ability to somehow think that he's going to sue the world and out-talk the world and threaten the world and bully the world. A couple points. Kimo Kealii, and you may think that this is just strange coincidence, that he is the chairman, as I've mentioned before, of Tom Berg's, City Councilman Tom Berg's campaign for city council this coming election. I don't know if he still is. They may have come to their senses and decide he's too volatile or something. Because when you sit in a process as a neighborhood board, and the public has that right, and as you heard the chairman of that neighborhood board, Hanalei Aipolani, who was shamefully, it was clearly demonstrate that he shouldn't, too, be around anything that's called public forum, because he should have called the police. These were citizens that came to exercise their rights, and he failed them. And you must know that he serves on committees or on organizations, on the board of organizations that Kimo Kealii is part of. He, too, has been in the fray of getting monies from the developer, the Tropic Lands Development, so that he served as a cultural person that gathered and put together supposedly a report to talk about the cultural activities and the background in that area that would support the Tropic Lands. This is a shameful process. These are people that simply came to speak, and as you heard, Kealii failed to respect or honor any of that. So if this is a democracy, then who is he? Or what is he? Or what participation does he have in this? And this community, these people, some of them that you heard talking, actually filed a complaint with the Neighborhood Board Commission. And the Neighborhood Board Commission has failed to respond or failed to take action, and basically has encouraged it by failing to do anything. And I don't know the backroom discussions that they've had with Heinrich and Brian Mick, who has his own baggage for ethics. And so when you look at this, this community is not afforded the democratic process, and you have people sitting there calling. Kealii made some reference that the lady was a chronic or something to that effect. And so when you see this, this community has ridden Peter Carlisle, and again, now this is under Peter Carlisle, but Kealii has his growing up in the Hanneman. He was one of Hanneman's boys, or I don't know if he still is, but he was quite close to Hanneman's election and campaigning for that district. Kealii, as you recall, his organizations received grants from the landfill benefit package, grants that was supposed to serve that community, and he was also on the committee to select. So if I'm trying to give you an idea when I say that the neighborhood board, now I'm sure there are some that are working squeaky clean, and I very seriously doubt that, knowing politics and knowing that in each one of them the mayor has placed his own people there. So let's start to tell you that something's corrupt about it. And I believe that when you look at the entire process, it's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. I believe there should be some other method designed to ensure that public participation, reminding ourselves that it's only an advisory level. So why would Kealii take such great interest? And one of the things is that he is accused of fabricating statements made by Lucy Gay. And what is happening is that he even, that wasn't enough. He went to attack Lucy Gay, who is one of the community leaders and educator there at Leawood College, helping that community. He even wrote and complained to the chancellors and to everybody that, and plus God, to try and strike out at Miss Lucy Gay. Tom Berg, folks, was present. He saw no problem with it, this behavior that Kealii displayed. Now, isn't it quite curious that they almost a similar traits in their personalities, apparently. They're twins of a different mother or something, because when you look at it, you know, Berg and his ranting and his raving and with the Secret Service or the AIPAC incident and other instances. And then you have Kealii. Imagine what we have to look forward to. And this, you and I may not be directly impacted as the community of Waianae and Nanakuli would be immediately, but subsequently in other votes and with this mindset. So you got this little hui, and let me tell you, if you don't think they pose a threat, with Aipolani sitting there, he was attacking, using that seat to attack Karanawana. And he has an interest in running for Wana's seat. So this whole thing is, this is how cockeyed this neighborhood board process is. Now, while I can't say the mayor is responsible for everything, I can say that the mayor fails to adopt any stance or take a positive action or respond timely to address these. And the people that he has appointed, Tom Heinrich, should have brought this thing to a close. There should have been immediate sanctioning and immediate actions taken and an investigation into this process. But instead, when the community filed these complaints about this matter, mind you, and others, nothing has been done. Now, to add a little more suspicion to this, or I guess excitement, they played the videotape that contained this in the meeting, but they did not play this portion. Now, I'm not saying that they purposely did this, but because there's supposedly a limit to the hours that the taping goes on and the limit to that can be shown. But I thought you're supposed to film it from gavel to gavel. This portion was filmed by one of the private citizens that was in the community, and thankfully he had the wherewithal and the smarts to preserve this. And copies of this have been presented to the neighborhood commission. Nothing has been done. And they're still up to their misdeeds, they being Aipolani and Kealii and the others, who are now trying to muscle their way in. I just can't imagine Tom Berg could sit. We'd already asked him, based on the other things, you know, giving Kelly, he's sitting on the grant committee for the Leeward benefit package, or landfill benefit package, and receiving grants, sending money to his organizations, or organizations that he's affiliated with. That should have been more than enough for Berg to say adios. That should have been more than enough for Tom Heinrich to pull the plug. But instead, what they do, they know that the community has filed other complaints, as well as myself, regarding ex parte communications, where Kealii, as I read some of them on the air here. I'll give you an example again why I say we need to do away with the neighborhood board and the commission as it stand, as we know it now, and revamp this and give something more democratic that we can rely on, that it could serve the purpose that the initial intent was, so that you, the community, could have a way of voicing your concerns and opinions and advisory and what have you. So, for example, I file a complaint based on the emails that I had, and I read some of them on air here, about ex parte communications, where the developer, Tropic Lands, and you remember, you may have heard something about a purple spot that Kealii yelled out. I read these emails, and these emails are where Eric Yanagihara, who works for the Tropic Land developer. And so the Tropic Land developer, Tom Inemoto and others, Kaylee had direct, and so did others, Teruya sent emails and others sent emails, and they had meetings. Joe Lapalio had meetings, ex parte meetings, on the discussion of the Tropic Land, on things that were going to go before the Planning Commission, things were going to go before the Neighborhood Board, and they were having secret meetings and secret emails on private emails to discuss the public concerns and issues and what have you. So automatically, that gave the public, put the public in a predicament that they had no equal playing field, because the members of the Neighborhood Board that were supposed to sit and listen to both sides and serve as an advisory to the city council or others, instead abandoned that role, became a chameleon, looked like the Neighborhood Board members, but was puppets of the developer. And those emails are documented. So I file a complaint with the Neighborhood Board Commission. They sat on it. Then they tell me, well, you have to file your complaint with an official form that you can get off the internet. So I go to the internet and I file it. Then they tell me, and I also sent a copy to the OIP, Office of Information Practices, because I kind of suspected, I know these yahoos, I know what they would do. They're just, if Webster needs to, we're able to get a pictorial definition of sleaze, then I think you could take a picture of some of these dudes, and that would be your perfect example. And the sad part about it is it's at the lower levels of the Neighborhood Board Commission. And you might say, well, why? Well, if you can get $312,000 and nobody say boo about it at the mayoral level and funnel it to your affiliates or your own organizations, then that's not small chump change. That's white-collar crime. Yet, Tom Heinrich and the Neighborhood Board Commission didn't get excited. So I sent the copy to the OIP. The OIP sends me a letter saying, well, our practice is to go to the organization, to the Neighborhood Board Commission first, let them do it. Well, that's contrary to what Brian Mick told me. So anyway, they then admonish Mick. Mick tells me, look, you need to send it to OIP. You see, now I've gotten caught up in this back and forth. OIP wrote Mick and told him, no, that's wrong. It's inaccurate. So now my complaint sits in limbo. And yet you still see, and by the way, this incident that I played you came after the complaints that we had filed. And the falsification and the manipulation of the minute meetings and what have you. That original statement Kaylee was taking issue with was that he had made representations in writing and it had found its way in the minutes of the meeting, the Neighborhood Board meeting, that, as you heard, Polly Grace said it never happened. Alice Greenwood, who was being quoted by Kaylee in the minutes, said that, no, these things never happened, and filed a complaint with Heinrich. So rather than taxing myself with saying, well, let's look at all of the neighborhood boards, I say that I can save myself time and others time by saying, if such egregious behavior is tolerated at any neighborhood board, then that means it has the potential, because it is the management, it is the Tom Heinrich, it is the Mayor Carlisle, it is the mayor, whomever, that has control. And so we may not never know what really goes on in this process. We really don't. So I believe that the Neighborhood Board commission and others should simply just go away. And I mean that because it's not serving its purpose, not serving its intent. And maybe I'm fooled in thinking that it had a special purpose when in fact, maybe this is just exactly what is supposed to happen with the neighborhood board. Big bells and whistles, big process. We're spending taxpayers' dollars. We're having the policemen to come and stand there and give, and which is okay. But what happens with their information? How is it processed? If you have behaviors such as being displayed by Kaylee, what does that say about this community? And what does that say about the neighborhood board process? So Kaylee sits on, I think, chaired the Committee of Education. And so I'm wondering how the neighborhood board was able to show this video on Olelo, knowing that there were other portions. Now, mind you, they may claim, well, we went over the 2 hours. Well, you can always go to Olelo, it's free, and show the remaining part two. Didn't get that behavior. So something is wrong out there with this process. And the process, the neighborhood board commission process, is, as I told you, Brian Mick, who is one of the people high up in the rankings, and with the neighborhood board commission. And so here is I'm going to read from a document that someone sent me in a few emails, and then I'll care pick it up in the next hour as well. And it is absolutely unbelievable what is going on, what is happening with this neighborhood board commission process. So this is passed, but again, the same people, and they still are there. This is regarding Brian Mick's leave. This was written July 9th, 2010, and from Mick to others. I was going to talk to you before I told the staff, but Wendy didn't think you'd be back in today, and I guess this is to Bibi. Today before I left. So I just talked to them and wanted to shoot you an email so you not caught off guard. Now, I talked with both Trudy and Mufi this morning, and they have agreed to allow me to go on leave through September 18. Human Resources suggested that they concurred, and rather than take a leave without pay, which would negatively impact my benefits, I would use my personal leave. I will come in Mondays to put in the necessary e-forms, and I went ahead and put them in for next week. I am still available by phone or email. If people have questions and need help, and I am more willing than to continue to work on preparing for the 2011 election. Now, you heard me say in the opening that the mayor, this neighborhood board commission, and this neighborhood board process is nothing more than a tool or an implement of the mayor's to deceive the public. This is in Brian Mick's own words. This is not Carol Cox writing this. Why would he be contacting Hanneman? Well, it was Hanneman's election that he's working on. And if you note that I told you that there were complaints filed with Chuck Toto, and Chuck Toto says that there was no findings, wasn't enough evidence. Yet these emails were right readily available to him, and yet, but I think that Toto never thought that the public would ever get these records. Now, am I defaming Toto? Am I attacking him improperly? No, I'm just going to lay out the facts, and then you choose ethics. Or, well, we'll let you fill in the blanks. One thing is you need someone else to be responsible for approving financial transactions. So anyway, this document goes on that we're going to talk about, and I have to bring it up. And if you have questions or some other subject you want to talk about, I can sporadically talk about these things. But it's important that I try and air this out and give you a better insight when we talk about politics and when we talk about public process and when we talk about integrity and ethics. And it's all relying on Chuck Cotto to be the traffic cop to make sure that we don't have collisions or derailment or accidents or maiming and mayhem. But instead, he's a facilitator. Brian Mick could be found at Hanneman's campaign headquarters daily during work hours. Now, I just read you, why on earth would they be contriving to get him, you know, if he's a city employee, then why would he be using city emails and city times to write emails to tell the staff that he's going to go work for the 2011 election? Maybe that's why Hanneman lost so badly. You got it. You saw other things. And maybe this is just one of those things. And I'm going to bring out some of these documents and this letter. This is a very thorough letter that someone internally wrote and presented it. And I've contacted these people. And we're going to talk about Senator Michelle Cadani and, you know, how the budget staff position became vacant. You know, and from out at Mililani. And it was a funny thing that when the legislative process ended, the session ended, she'd find her way back at a job at the Neighborhood Board Commission. We're going to talk about that and a lot more. So please join me in the second hour, Carol Cox. You'll pick up this at carol@carolcox.com is the email, and carolcox.com is the website.
Right here, I'd like to tell you a little story. This is about a country boy from down home. This young man has never been north before. I want you to listen to me now. I've got something to tell you. He heard about Chicago. He worked hard all the year. Made all of that money, $800. After he gathered his crop, he called his cousin in Chicago. And he said, "Cousin, I'm on my way." He picked all of that cotton. I said, "This is about a country boy like myself, B.B. King, you know." So when he get to Chicago, his cousin meet him and bring him out to the club. He said, "Set him up, cuz is paying for it." Had all the go-go girls sitting out waiting on him. They carried him downtown and put him up in one of the plush hotels. They brought him back out and said, "Set him up, cuz is paying for it." Money got a little lighter. They moved him out from the loop and brought him down to Roberts. And then he said, "Set him up, cuz is paying for it." And then the $800, being more money than my man had ever had, began to run out. Then they moved him out and put him down to the Persian. And then, ladies and gentlemen, the go-go girls were getting fewer. His friends were fewer.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show. Heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for The Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
All his buddies have started to pass him on the other side of the street. And then it happened, all his money was gone. And my man only knew one thing to do. It was getting cold then, like it is today. You know what I'm talking about. He went down to the railroad yard. And one of the few ladies that had helped him to spend his money came by to see him. And she said, "You fool. You fool. I wouldn't have spent your money, but the rest of them were spending your money, so I decided to spend my portion too, you know." But ladies, God bless them, wonderful something, aren't they? They always like to feel like they're needed. And she knew my man needed a bath. He'd gotten sick. He's laying down there under the boxcar. Couldn't read so well. So you know, if he couldn't read so well, he couldn't write too well. You know what I'm talking about? So this is a letter back down home. I know what I'm talking about. It go like this. "I've had my fun. What if I don't get well no more? Well, I've had my fun, people. If I don't get well no more. Yeah, you know my health is failing on me now, people. Oh, and I'm going down slow.
It's time for The Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to The Carol Cox Show, and thank you for joining again. And took a little peek at our website. And as I mentioned earlier, carolcox.com. And I'm careful when I tell these numbers, but just in the last 2 days, some 4,000 of you apparently like what you see and what you hear, and going to use this as a means of making decisions, of being informed. And don't just take my comments and antics for the gospel, but, you know, I try to break every rule there is in radio. I'm sure the bigger boys are sitting there going, well, you know, but mine is not entertaining. Don't mean to throw a little fun and game in it, but the reality is we need help here. We need CPR. Citizens need to know what is going on. And so that's what this is about. And again, thank all of you for the support and the comments. And again, I meet many of you. I didn't realize that just a person's voice can be recognized so easily. I'm standing in line sometimes and talking. And the person says, oh, I recognize that voice. You're Carol Cox. And so not to sound like a person that that is famous or anything. It's just that I'm glad to know that you're listening and you're out there. So, but I told you I'd talk about the Neighborhood Board Commission and some of the things. Now, this letter that I have, and as I closed the last hour, we have Mr. Brian Mick, who's currently an employee of the Neighborhood Board Commission, the city, and he's still actively involved in politics and serving on different campaigns. And I don't know who he's committed to now, but I assure you Peter Carlisle will be the benefactor or beneficiary of that. But this letter that someone wrote internally in very reliable and good positions, many of the facts that were stated here, I've cross-checked them. And this letter states that Mick was attempting to become executive secretary. And they said that acting as if he was in charge and overstepping his boundaries, someone like this should not be head of the office. Standard protocol should be followed, but he has disregard for authority. This is this letter now that is written. The reason Mick wants this job is to let Michelle Kadani come back to the city, as she has done each year, to earn extra money easily. Rumor has it that he will move to the ES position, the executive secretary position, and keep his number two position open and let Michelle come back part-time employee after the ledge ends in April to work till December. She has done this many times before, so unusual for an office that only pays full-time staff except for the elections clerk. Now, again, Michelle Kadani is my senator. She represents my district. Michelle Kadani, if we go backwards a bit, she is instrumental in, quote, bringing down Reen Munshow. And I had dealt with Michelle Kadani prior to her. I think she was neighborhood board and after she had left the where she was aggressively trying to get the information on and put it out there on Reen Munshow. So now I was a little alarmed and appalled that she would be that political. And then, as I reported about 3 weeks ago, there was a party there across from the police station at Baritania, up at supposedly the sporting. There's a place where they have a batting cage, but all the Democrats get together up there and swap drinks and. She was bringing the Jell-O drinks or Jell-O vodka or whatever that drink is, but they all gather there. So she has become, I'm concerned, just yet another one of the guys, so to speak. And so this this letter goes on to talk about, and this was under John Mankey. Brian handled the press functions, complaints, and other functions she did not want to handle. Under Ray G, Mick handled not much, since the bulk of his time was left to campaigning, and she was left to fend for herself without a budget, staff person since Michelle Kadani ran for senator. And then it goes on how the budget staff position became vacant. Michelle Kadani was the previous budget staff person for working for the NCO, Neighborhood Board Commission. Michelle was let by John Mankey to come back each year and work for the NCO to supplement her part-time legislative job. However, in 2008, Mayor Mufi Hanneman wanted the rail tax monies, so he put his cabinet up to run for legislative or council seats. Michelle Kadani ran one. Michelle Kadani, the mastermind behind Brian Mick, did not want to be executive secretary when John Mankey left. Ernie Martin also ran and won. So let's say that Mankey promised to promote a few staff when she left to retire in the city and work for Michelle Kadani in the spring of 2010. You see these musical chairs? When reading this letter, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm beginning to understand why the average citizen who's become disenfranchised and is saying, why should I vote? Maybe they see something that we haven't seen, and if this process continues, then maybe their complaints and their concerns and their lack of, or their what might be apathy, it may be a reasonable conclusion that we have no control over our government. This is the Honolulu Club. That's what it is. It's the Honolulu Club, and maybe some of these non-voters have gotten it. And, you know, so that's the problem. You take, for example, I was chuckling. I just drove by the other day in Cali. There's Romy Cocciola. Now he's running for state representative. Well, there's two terms for city council to run out, and now he's going back to state representative. So, you know, sometimes the voters can be smart, and sometimes they can be too smart for their own good. And so I think in this case that's what's happening. And I don't want to bore you with this letter, but it's a good item. It's a good piece of fruit. And I think when fruit is ripe, you pick it and you eat it. And this document gives an insight that we wouldn't be privy to. It's an anonymous letter. And as I say, one of the things, so you'll know the veracity of this, and that there was a claim about Brian Mick printing Mufi Hanneman's campaign flyers on the Neighborhood Board Commission's printers. And I was able to get emails that I read to you on air. And so it's there, these things. And Kadani did, in fact, work on these roles. But this whole process, it goes on. But prior to leaving the NCO, she told Ray G to promote staffers Lenny Pascual, who worked with John at Patsy Mink's office, from PRA to CRS, see flowchart, and then Theona K. Poy, from neighborhood assistant to public relations assistant. Unfortunately, when Ray followed orders to promote as recommended by Mick, she found out other staff did not have the chance to apply for these promotions. She ended up by apologizing to the staff. The process under B. Mick was improper and unfair to all staff. Mick told Ray that the mayor approved these promotions. Months later, Ray realized Lenny could not do the budget. She could not figure out the budget numbers, could not access the computer system, and even gave Ray the wrong numbers at a city council hearing. And after reviewing her qualifications, she did not have a degree. She got a pay raise of $7,000 from public relations assistants to community relations assistants. By being promoted to this job, Ray asked Mayor if she could demote her to a lower position, since she could not even do the basic of the budget during budget sessions with the city council. Mayor approved it, but Lenny left on her own and worked for Donahue with Michelle Kadani. So again, when Mr. Donahue was appointed to the city council, that vacant position for a brief period, Kadani, if you now know, went and worked with him. So what is this? Is this government? Or is it, as family, Sly Stone say, it's a family affair? What is this? And now this gives insight So for me, it clarifies the confusion that how could in normal settings, I say, and I think Honolulu is an exception now when it comes to politics, normal settings, a man loses as bad as Mufi Hanneman did. That was the strongest slap you could ever receive as a politician. Yet he's back. He pops up like Jack in the Box. So that tells you the checks and balances, because they pay one another with your money. With our tax dollars, they favor one another. When you need a job, they supplement your income. When you do good things and go find your way to the campaign headquarters, when you lie for them, when you cover up for them, when the Ethics Commission do come to ask questions, you say, I don't know, or I don't recall. So you get rewarded for these little behaviors. But the reward isn't a reward out of Hanneman's pocket or Carlisle's pocket. It's out of our pocket. And this is, you know, I'm doing this so that you don't think that we all run around smoking drugs and then turn around and paranoid, you know, that this is a corrupt place and that's all you hear. So I'm bothering to take these documents and task myself with trying to share with you, this is why we can conclude that this town is corrupt, period. All the way down from Senator Danny Noy, the whole group of them, they pay one another, they flavor one another. And when a guy like, and I mean, Cayetano has his own friends and his own circles, but at least somebody needs to get in and change the motion and give us a break. I don't know. I mean, there's, when politics come around, who's there now to trust when you look at all of these relationships? So this meant that talking about this, this meant to one open position to be offered to Michelle Kadani after her legislative session ended. Joan wanted Ray to recommend the mayor hire Michelle so she could make extra money. And this was done in the past where Joan hired Michelle and let her work for the new budget each year, right? And the NCO, Ray asked Mayor to hire Michelle he decides who is employed in his office, and this is under the mayor's. Remember I told you this was the mayor's? The NCO is under the office of the mayor, and the mayor hires and fires staff, not the ES. See, even though they have an executive secretary who runs it, it's left in the hands of the mayor who to put in there. So basically, it's, Carol, you need a job. If you are willing to do this, I'm going to need you to run my campaign headquarters in Kahuku. You have any problems with that? No, Mr. Mayor. Or no, Mufi. Okay, you're hired. That's the way this game is played, folks. And some might say it's the luxury of being in that position. No, it's the abuse of being in that position. Mayor Hanneman told Ray not to hire Michelle when she asked her for the vacant job in April, because Michelle did not vote to give the transit accommodation tax, which monies are given back to the city. Michelle blamed Ray for not hiring her. She found a job with the newly elected council member Lee Donahue, former chief of police. And that was definitely a conflict interest, because Michelle could influence city policy in favor of the state legislature, but no one formally filed a city ethics complaint. And even if they had filed a city ethics complaint, it would have fallen on deaf ears and on the floor or in the trash can with Chuck Tato at the helm of the, quote, ethics commission. He's a front line. So if all of these things can go on, you know, now I might be out of place to say certain things about Tato. But you can't get this number of violations over and over, and then he writes, well, we couldn't find clear and refutable evidence, basically. Or the information did not allow us to conclude that there was a violation. Some of this nonsense. So Lenny left the NCO and worked for Lee Donahue with Michelle, and thus the former friends of Joan Mankey worked for the city and not the NCO. Joan moved to Oregon but came back to Hawaii in the fall of 2010 to work on the Honolulu City Lights with Friends of Lights. They claim in this statement she illegally used the NCO office as her office when she volunteered under the Honolulu City Lights. Mick sent out an email to all staff saying Joan is coming back, so they have a desk for her to use, and she will use the phone. And they're going on to say this is the illegal use of the city property to a non-city worker. One could file an anonymous ethics complaint of Brian Mick abusing city property. The email is traceable, but one must do it soon or it will be erased from city mail archives. Now, this is, again, Mick is still in place. Carlisle is still using him. And is this a democratic process? Are we able to rely, or should we rely on what we see? And I'm still asking the mayor to all of those people that got parts of the several millions of dollars, like Kimo Kealii, show their books and pay back the taxpayer, because as I told you a week ago, they cannot account for their monies as it was required by the conditions of the grants and HRS and all. It's going to require Peter Carlisle to take a legal action, to engage the Corporation Council, to take action, to file liens and retrieve the taxpayers' monies. Will Peter do that? I don't know. But it sounds like in this document here, Peter robs to pay Paul, apparently. But Brian Mick spent most of the working city job running daily to the entire Senate, to either the Senate office of Michelle Cadani, and or Lee Donahue, to talk story and play behind the back of the boss. Many city workers saw him roaming the halls and teased that the NCO reputation is still intact. The staff hardly works, quote. Ray G tried to limit access to the staff of the office during non-business hours, monitor travel and gasoline miles and blah, blah, blah. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Question.
Yes, sir.
You know the pipe that came up in the Alawai, the sewer pipe?
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a comment in the paper that there's only a little bit of sewage going down the pipe. Mm-hmm. Is that pipe sewage?
Is that pipe sewage?
Yeah, the big sewage pipe that came up in Alawai. You know when it surfaced?
Mm-hmm.
And he finally put it down this week or something. You let out the gas and it sank back down. Is that still carrying sewage?
Well, apparently they say that it carries a small amount.
Yeah, I heard that
But it was supposed to be temporary, and I would say yes, based on what was said at the press conference that I filmed. But
So in other words, they're still dumping sewage somewhere into the ocean then, right?
Well, that one goes to the treatment plant.
Oh, that would go to the treatment plant, okay.
Then it's dumped, but, you know, it's still what it is.
Yeah, right, it's still a sewage pipe in the Alawai that could break and contaminate more like they did. But if you go back to the original intent of that thing, and if they're still using it, that means the other part of our sewage system is not working properly or something.
Right, and it was supposed to be a temporary fix. That's what was presented in 6 years. But, you know, the thing is, what is temporary? Is it in the geological times or on the clock, 24-hour clock?
Well, it's amazing that we still have not been able to figure out our sewage problem. Mm-hmm. You know, the sewage and the dumping problems. It boggles my mind that we don't have any kind of, you know, politicians that can put a plan together to solve the problems that we have.
Well, the problem is they don't have the people's business in their mind. They have their business in their mind. That's the first problem. Because, you know, how long does it take to fix a pipe, and how long does it take to fix it right or put it in the first time, right?
Yeah, they do everything A backwards. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It just makes me, you know, totally frustrated. But one other thing, there was an article in the paper today about this guy, Clayton Hee, getting big money from this pharmaceutical guys.
Mm-hmm.
And on the front page of the paper, you know, I don't take any medication at all, but I would really sorry for these people that are paying out exorbitant prices before, and now it's going to be even more exorbitant. You know what I mean? Prices for the pills and our medication.
Yeah.
How can the people, the common people, fight against the pharmaceutical guys?
By voting out Clayton Hee and tell him don't show his face at the state capitol or any other public office.
Yeah, well, you know, I was a fan of Clayton's a number of years ago, and slowly but surely he's showing me that he don't got it on the ball. He's got other concerns in his mind, you know what I mean, that not really for the people, because if I read that article, it seems like a blatant payoff. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You get a $3,500 payment.
Yeah, well, as we say in the South, he is looking out for himself.
Yeah, he. You got that right. It's kind of frustrating, you know, because then, you know, him and Donovan De La Cruz, I was fans of both of them guys. They done something for my community and stuff like that. But and when you add it on the scale, you know, what he done for our community and what he's doing for himself is way outweighed. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't know what their future are, you know, these two guys that, you know, that in my mind has really soured me toward them. You know, I won't mm-hmm. campaign for them or vote for them ever again, you know, mm-hmm. if I get the chance. But it's really frustrating that, you know, we as the voters have really not too many people to choose from that are really honest, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
it's
frightening.
Yeah, this is, I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, I guess if we keep talking and through talk, will build up courage, and people will then have the courage to just not vote for these.
Yeah, right. Like you said, if you don't got a good candidate, just stay home. You know, that's the only way.
Yeah.
To try to defeat them, you know, or get somebody else, try to get them in the community that has some gonads mm-hmm. and stand up against these guys and say, hey, you guys are taking money under the table. Just say it right out front, and I'm, and they got a pledge that they won't take money themselves.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're right, but I think an immediate action is needed, and that is to ask guys like Carlisle, what do you stand for, or who do you stand for, why all of this craziness in the back room?
Yeah, well, you're doing the best thing, Carl, because exposure, you know, I guess long enough will, you know, make the shine of these people, you know, dull, they're, you know, they're electability, you know, in some way or shape or form, we have to get some candidates that just got a good program and a good ideas, and they stick with what they say when they get in office, you know. I haven't seen it happen, but I sure hope, man, every once in a while I get down on my knees and I pray, hey, somebody stand up and, you know, take a swing at these guys mm-hmm. and, you know, try to, you know, defeat them.
Mm-hmm. Well, keep in mind Clayton Hee. I've pointed out it on numerous occasions that, you know, I mean.
Well, I got to know one of his neighbors, and she didn't really have a high regard for Clayton. And I just took it as like a rub, you know, this was years ago, but now it seemed like maybe she was right, mm-hmm. you know.
But I think the answer to half of the problem is when we see politicians partnering up with Clayton Hee, while we may not just solely or singularly get Clayton Hee out, we should, anybody that cohorts with him or is in favor of Flavor or buddy-buddy, we need to send
something going underneath the table.
Right. We need to tell them we can't pick your friends. You'll pick your friends, but if it's the same kinds of friends, then you get out of the office, too. We'll vote you out. And that's what's happening.
You know, you sort of collect on each other, you know, they attract each other. So
mm-hmm.
I just hope people get wise and we have some more people run for office that are a little bit more honest, you know, and forthright, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? It just really frustrates me. I can't understand why somebody won't stand up and be a good politician.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I guess they're all, you know, egotistic and they're in it for the money, you know, and it's hard to, you know, defeat human nature, you know?
Oh, yeah. So it's something. I believe that it's not going to just disappear overnight, but if we keep talking about it, they won't be as open. Right now, they're arrogant. You got the most arrogant. You look at...
Yeah, you got some really arrogant buggers, yeah, because they got the vote. And like you said, this... Well, I praise you every time I hear you, Carol. Just keep going, you know what I mean? Like you said, maybe these people will turn around it may take a little while for the votes to go down on these people, or and somebody else has got to stand up and, you know, I'm a little bit too old to get into politics, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
but I wish there was somebody else out there, you know, that really wants to do something for the community, you know, and they're honest, you know, that's what we ask out of a politician. You want to do something for the community and be honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really pick out too many. You know, this guy Berg, I thought he was going to be something, but he's a loose cannon. You know, if he just would stick to some one point and, you know, get it done. But he has a good background. You know, if you read what he's done in other places, I don't know if he had a bad reputation over there in Minnesota. I think that's where he came from. I haven't checked on, you know, any place for the guy, but, you know, at the beginning he seemed like he was going to try to clean up stuff, and now it just seems like, you know, he's running in a circle and getting nowhere.
Well, Berg, from attrition, I think he would burn out in this climate anyway, because remember, Berg is one of the founders of the Tea Party here, something contrary to the average voter here in this state. So, and it doesn't even set well with many of the Republicans that exist, the old-time Republicans. So I think just through attrition, he would burn out anyway.
Because
this place is not conducive to that kind of behavior. And when you don't get your ways, you stomp, stammer, and scream and say rude things.
Well, don't favor Republicans. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, he seemed like he was, you know, non-partial at a certain point in time. And then all of a sudden, he kind of turned on everybody around him, you know. So he bit his own foot, it looks like to me.
Yeah, well, as I've demonstrated, just the willingness of him to retain his campaign manager. I don't know if you heard the first hour with his campaign manager behaving in the fashion that he did towards the community members there on the neighborhood board.
Oh, yeah. I heard a little bit of that, but it was kind of hard to understand what was going on. But it sounded like a lot of name-calling and accusations When these people got a war among themselves, they can really expose themselves for what they are, the Pine Lady and Berg, you know what I mean?
The way
they're fighting each other, you know, like chickens in a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So you can really get the good look at them, the real innards, you know, because they got to utter stuff, you know, that's derogatory and stuff like that. And you're figuring, what is this? This ain't the way to be a politician.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a losing battle, what they did, as far as I'm concerned. I hope they both lose in reality. Maybe we get somebody in there that's a little bit more honest and forthright. But that's about all I have to say, Cal.
Alrighty.
And keep on pushing, man. That's all we can do. And I love your bumper music.
All right.
All right.
I just thought I would play that to keep people. I knew you'd be listening. And for my buddy John out there, I know that he's from Chicago, right?
All right.
So he...
It's a message.
Yeah. Just a soulful sound with B.B. King, you know.
I'll be listening.
All right, brother. Thank you. Aloha.
Right. Bye.
Anyway, this thing is it boiling over? I don't know. But this letter now, is it reckless journalism? No, I'm just reading your letter that someone wrote to me. And while I'm not saying all things are true in it, and these some of them say there are allegations, but, for example, first, the allegations that Mayor Carlisle made a deal with Mayor Hanneman. This is what this document is saying. Mayor Hanneman selected Caldwell to be the next mayor. So why align Carlisle? Why align with Carlisle? Mayor Hanneman got jealous of Kirk's popularity with the cabinet and the electorate and turned on him. So it was rumored before anyone won for mayor, Hanneman made a deal with Carlisle to keep his cabinet and give them jobs through the next 2 years of the mayor's term. That appeared true. Carlisle has kept most of Hanneman's past appointments for cabinet and boards and commissions. Now, rumor, allegations, this letter was written, by the way, before the elections. And again, it seems to be consistent with this whole thing. And they're saying in this letter that Mick will use city time and equipment to accomplish a job. He will use anything, basically. And the relay to... And here's what's really scary that I found. But it confirms something that someone else had told me, that he will use Marie Richardson. This was an old, a former supervisor of the NCO, who talks to board members to relay gossip to Hanneman on who is running for what seat, or who is supporting what developer or project for the city or against the city. And this person says the office should be, quote, neutral, like the city clerk's office, and support the board members who are their clients. Due process and equality for all should be filed. Right? So this is really, really bad business. And they are recommending that the office should be, of the NCO, should be removed from under the mayor's office and moved to a new division of the customer service department as recommended by the legislative audit. So this person is quite familiar, that the author of this letter is quite familiar, and I wasn't aware that there was an audit that has already spoken to some of these issues. And it's absolutely, I think it's part of the fixing. But right now, if Hanneman or Carlisle declare that he has $6 million as a war chest for campaigning, he didn't tell you that he also has at his disposal the neighborhood board. And in many of these instances, the neighborhood board members are either campaign chair for their districts for the mayor, the reigning mayor. So imagine how it is woven in the fabric, that it invites corruption, because the guy in the neighborhood board is not going to just do it for nothing, because he wants something too. He's aspiring to be a new state representative like Ipolani, or he wants a grant like Kalii, or many others. So when you get this behavior, what do you get? Corruption. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Cox, for taking my call. It's a question. When Carlisle is voted out of office, what type of golden parachute do you think he'll get, like Mufi Hanneman? I think he ends up with the hotel, on the hotel board or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what is your speculation as to what type of job Carlisle will end up with?
Yeah. Well,
and, I'm sorry.
Well, he probably, the way these boys work in this town, he'll become the lawyer for corporation counsel ahead of that, or he could... was a city prosecutor. Someone could appoint him as a judge. They take care of one another, right?
Yes, sir. So. And what I can't understand as far as Hanneman is concerned, he gets voted out of office. He goes into, a private sector. Now he wants back in office again. These folks always seem to go, you know, when they're voted out, they get these cushy jobs. And then they want to get back into, supposedly public service, and they don't do that. They seem like they expect this to happen. I mean, it's like, they look forward to this. I mean, they have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bleeding us dry. That's my question and comment.
Not, thank you. Absolutely nothing to lose, because if it's a giveaway, you know, if it's a blue light special in politics here in this town, you lose, just pick up the phone, and you've already set it up. Hey, I'm going to run. If I lose, I get you appoint me. If you win, I'll appoint you, vice versa. Or my wife needs a job, or all kinds of silliness. And so we don't get the best and the best qualified people in government. We get the best that is in tight with their friends, and I think that's where millions and millions and millions of dollars are squandered, in paying their friends and just getting their friends on. You know, for example, there's Laura Thielen. What did she know about agriculture? But Carlisle appointed her as the agriculture rep. And she was appointed as the chairman of Land and Natural Resources. What had she done other than the Nature Conservancy, a private entity, that to do with government? So You know, but again, if you look, and she, her husband is in government and what have you, and this is, there's a hierarchy and there's a royalty, a family royalty, instead of having a king and a queen here. I don't know who the head honcho is, but they say it's Senator Danny Noy, but I think it's, there's a bigger body here that allow these guys to play, because if they get caught, Chuck Cotto douses the flame on any real issues there. If the FBI, we haven't seen any major investigations like we see the FBI doing on the mainland. I mean, they get you if you look cockeyed. But over here, it must be in the U.S. Attorney's Office that is not authorizing some of the FBI agents to work and to do the real serious white-collar crime, because I guarantee you, just based on the information that I've seen and some of the matters that I've worked on and with my background, I believe that it meets all of the elements of corruption and white-collar, and I could prove it, and I haven't been in that business in a long time. So something's wrong here. There's someone up top, and a great many of them. And I know, don't call me and don't tell me they're going to kill me, because if you know, if you are scared of them, then you're already dead. So don't worry about it. This is a democracy. This is the last time I checked, when the TV signed off, there was a flag that said, "This is America." And I have that etched in my mind, that it tells me you can go to sleep and trust that you're going to wake up tomorrow, because this is a free nation. You're not going to be pulled out by your hair, a burnout by someone that is a crooked politician. So, you know, maybe that's what we need to do, get the TV stations to sign off at 12 just to remind us that we are still America, and that we will not tolerate that you, if you play, you pay. And you will forever have three hots in a cart if you violate the trust of the people and rip us off. But in this, and I'm going to get away from this, but the allegations are also circulating that Mick circumvented Baby Hafana. Yes, whenever the executive secretary, whenever she reported to her boss, Douglas Chen, the city manager, that is how she got let go by let go. Mick must have told Chen that Mayor Hanneman replaced Baby the first time as ES because she blurted out at a commission meeting or installation ceremony of a board members that the reason why the staff could not do their job or is not in the office is because, quote, they are too busy campaigning for Mufi, for mayor, end quote. You could ask the Neighborhood Board Commission Bob Findley or Ron Mobley for the date of the meeting, although it must not be in the minutes or record. So it must be in the minutes. Anyway, I slaughtered this letter, but again, this is the sad part about it. We can't get any justice, can't get any real investigations on the part of the states. The Attorney General hadn't prosecuted anybody, the FBI. And I'm going to tell you, these guys are, I know factually, because I spoke with two secretaries that were appointed by Hanneman, and they admitted on tape that they were working and charging and working on regular time and not taking vacation. And I gave those tapes to Chuck Cotto, and he says he didn't have sufficient evidence. And I guess it may just would help that Carlisle's, one of his chief guys, plays golf with the two, with one of the secretaries at the Honolulu Country Club up there, or one of the country clubs, or the Oahu or the Honolulu. So you see how this whole thing works out. It's who you know. And then it is who we end up having to deal with. So I believe that there is some hope. And I think, though, that if we can get away from all of the other things, as I say to many people, I think half the problem, we spend hours and hours watching reality shows. But the reality that we live in, we won't pay 5 minutes to that because we're afraid they're going to hurt us. They're going to take our job. They're going to investigate you. They're going to do this, you know, and do that. And I have to hearken back to say that that's ludicrous. And if anybody, I'm thinking about getting a sign that when someone tells me, be careful, they'll hurt you, they'll kill you, they'll do this. And I'm going to get a picture of the ugliest chicken or a creature that you could look at that would infer or suggest that you are chicken-hearted because, and you are a failure when you utter those words, because we have men and women in other countries fighting, supposedly, for your democracy to keep from you from losing your rights, and all that you can do to show their thanks is to tell a guy like me, they'll kill you if you stand up and tell the truth. You know, if you show that you keep saying that they're stealing millions from us, you know, be careful. They'll kill you. If you really want to make a man sad, approach him and tell him that when he knows that, you know, we're the walking dead if we continue to allow this kind of behavior on the part of the Hannemans, the Carlyles, the Inouyes, the senators, and the guys that plays the musical chairs. If we continue to do that, I think maybe you ought to look at yourselves and say, they've already killed me. They've taken my soul, my spirit, and I'm standing here waving a flag of surrender, and my nieces and nephews who stand by looking, I've just squandered their opportunity, too, as Americans, because you're afraid they're going to take your job. You're afraid that you won't be able to go to Vegas and play the wheels or what have you, because you've become hooked on the easy part of life, when, in fact, you should stand up and fight. Nothing good comes easy. And if you're afraid of dying and afraid of being hurt or afraid of losing your job or not having your trash picked up, you have one option. You can vote them out. You can stand tall. You can do like the kupuna that goes to the neighborhood board and weather those storms and stand there at Nanakuli and have themselves shouted down. But they're not giving up. And not once have they ever told me personally that I should be careful. Instead, they say, hey, when are we going to go do the next one? So that's encouraging. So it's not all bad, but I would say the next time that you get dressed in the morning and you stand in the mirror, don't worry about how your collar looks or if your lipstick matches. Worry about how you fit in this community, how you display. If you display fear, if you encourage others to be fearful, if you encourage others to, oh, that's business in Hawaii and what have you, then just turn on the saddest song there is and play it. Put it in your car and play it every day. And I think that would be a very unique place to be mentally. But for those that want to fight, let's fight. Let's keep talking. Keep calling and keep writing and keep tipping me off, because I'm not giving up, folks. I'm just not going to sit down on the job. Mm-mm. Not here. And so what we got to do is I'm going to try and get Senator Michelle Kadani on the show and ask her, you know, what is this all about? I thought she heard to get Reen Mancho punished. And then why are we seeing this kind of behavior? But once she got increase in her salaries, you know, they gave themselves that 36% increase, then she no longer has to go back to the neighborhood board or the neighborhood commission to get a job. So we have to ask ourselves, what is this really about? Is it really politics, or is it just a hybridized version of corruption? Has a face of honest people, has a face and trust of the public, but reality, it's the devil in the skirt. You know, and it's just unforgivable on the part of all of the Donovan De La Cruz's, the Neil Abercrombie's, and all of those people who stand there and tell us to be careful of the right-wingers and the libertarians, and then they're screwing us worse than anybody could, and because we're trusting them. They have unobstructed access to our resources, to our dollars, to our natural resources, to our politics, because we trust them. And we're looking at the Republicans with jaundiced eyes, and we've already placed them in a predicament, in a position where don't trust them, you know. And we have the unions who grabbed hold. So tug of war, you the taxpayer, the union, and the dishonest guy who claims he's a member of the Democrat Party, but he in turn is as thieving as anybody you've ever seen. And that's what half of them are. I'm still waiting. I ask Toto or Tato. I keep wanting to go to the Wizard of Oz. Sometimes I want to just fly away. But Tato, I ask and about the Nestor Garcia matter. Well, once again, he say that it's still under investigation. It didn't take him that long to do the gun sales in Nicaragua or many other things, you see. But when it comes to prosecuting themselves or taking care, there's always a political element. But anyway, I'm cautious. A number of politicians have asked to come on the show, and after they come on, I just feel like I've done a disservice to the public, because they don't really want to talk, have a conversation. They want to tell their story and that they've rehearsed and rehearsed, and they don't want to get it puts a strain on the microphone, because I don't want to waste time to have a politician come in and sit here and just tell me what he think we want to hear. I want to have an exchange. So I'm reluctant. There's a number of them asking, and initially I was excited about it, but they all resort to the same tactics and the same antics. They really don't want to put it out on the table. They really don't want you to ask the unscripted questions, you see. And so it become antagonistic, or a relationship, that a tug of war. So anyway, we'll try as try can, and because I've given Alex Santiago an opportunity, I still want to afford the other side or other candidates. But I'm quite reluctant, and if you do come on, it won't be a platform stomp. So anyway, I'll see you next week, and who knows. But look in that mirror and ask yourself, while you're doing things for your comfort, what are you doing for your children, and what are you doing for this country? We won't recognize this country in another 20 years. It'll look like some other mud hole. So anyway, take care. Talk to you later.
Once upon a time, a long, long time ago, wherever you'd lead me, I would surely follow. Girl, you put me through some pain and misery, and now you are standing on my doorstep, telling me how much you need me. Ain't nobody home. You to come home,
yeah,
but you laughed at me and said, let me alone. Through my burning tears, I saw you walk away, and now you're begging me to forgive you. But this time, baby, it's your turn to pay. Baby, ain't nobody. Place no
when you want me away.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu.